We have our second Bible reading from Matthew chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. Thank you.
The parable of the tenants in the vineyard. Listen to another parable, Jesus said. There was once a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the wine press, and built a watchtower. He then rented the vineyard to tenants and left home on a trip. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves to the tenants to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants grabbed his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. Surely they will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him, and we will get his property. So they grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, he will want those tenants, Jesus said. He would certainly kill those evil men, they answered, and rent the vineyard out to other tenants, who will give his share of the harvest at the right time. Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read what the scriptures say? The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all. This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And so I tell you, added Jesus, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you, given to the people who produce the proper fruit. The chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable and knew that he was talking about them. So they tried to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowds who considered Jesus as a prophet.
Has anybody got the theme for this morning yet? No one. Might it have something to do with grapes? Vineyards? Does that mean you weren't listening? Oh, I'm sure you were. So, let's have a look at that last parable. First of all, to set the scene, the parable we've heard is one of the stories which Jesus tells when he's approached in the temple in Jerusalem by the chief priests and elders, who demand what right he has to do what he's doing. Things such as preaching to the people, healing the sick and the lame, and no doubt, in particular, criticizing them and undermining their authority. Jesus answers with a question of his own. He asks them, where did John the Baptist's right to baptize come from? Was it from God or was it from man? The chief priests and the elders don't know what to answer. If they say from God, they think Jesus will say, well, why didn't you believe John then? If they say from man, they're afraid of what the people would do, because the people were convinced that John was a prophet and therefore a special person. Accordingly, they sort of fudged the issue and said, we don't know. So Jesus replies, well, in that case, I won't tell you by what right I do the things I do. So that's the background to the beginnings of the story. So there's a parable, a couple of parables before this one, but looking at the parable we've heard this morning, remember that Jesus begins his story, there was a landowner who planted a vineyard. Now, when the chief priests and elders heard these words, they would have undoubtedly been reminded of the reading which we've heard from Isaiah 5, 1 to 7 in the Old Testament. They would have known that in Isaiah's parable, the vineyard stood for Israel. So they would be fairly sure where Jesus was heading with his parable. That is, he was going to remind them of a time in the past when Israel had ignored God and all the good things he had given them, and gone its own way. A dark time in Israel's history. They would have expected Jesus to say, "But don't worry, things are different now. Everything's all right now." But he doesn't, does he? Instead, he says that the tenants of the vineyard are killed and other tenants brought in. That is pretty drastic, isn't it? So what is this parable all about then? Let's identify who the characters are represented in Jesus' story. Sorry, got lots of colds and coughs going round. But I'll try not to do a Theresa May. So let's identify the characters in Jesus' story. The vineyard owner is God. The vineyard is Israel. The tenants are the leaders of Israel, the chief priests and the elders. And the prophets and priests who remain faithful to God are the slaves. And the son is Jesus. And we're told that the vineyard owner creates a new vineyard, something which would have taken a lot of time and effort and money. He then lets it out to some tenants to look after and tend for him, which was a common practice. In return, the owner would be entitled to receive a fixed proportion of the produce or its proceeds. So the time comes for harvesting the grapes, and the owner sends his slaves to collect his share. But the tenants aren't willing to give the owner what is due to him, and they beat, kill, or stone the owner's slaves. The owner sends more slaves, and they are treated in the same way. Then, perhaps thinking that the tenants don't recognize the authority of the slaves to collect what is due to him, the owner sends his own son. And what happens then? They kill him too, seemingly under the mistaken impression that if they do that, they will be able to seize the vineyard for themselves. The owner, he comes, and exacts judgment on those evil tenants and lets the vineyard out to new tenants who are given what is his due. So what is the message that Jesus is giving here? That over the years, the leaders of the chief priests and elders of Israel have failed to give God what is due to him. They have ignored, persecuted, and even killed the prophets he has sent to them to remind them of their duty to God. Then, even when God sends his own son Jesus to bring them back into right relationship with him, they are hostile to him and want him arrested, and worse. So what does God do? In the same way that the owner offers his vineyard to new tenants, God offers a place in his kingdom to the non-Jews, to you and to me, in the hope that we will produce the fruits of the vineyard to him. The fruits are not grapes, as in the parable, but the fruits of the kingdom. More about those later on. At the end of this parable, Jesus also refers to himself as the stone the builders rejected. Here Jesus is quoting from Psalm 118. The reference in the psalm was to the deliverance of Israel from a situation where it seemed that their enemies had triumphed. This had only happened because God had intervened on behalf of Israel, his chosen people. Jesus saw in this a foretelling of his own rejection, leading to his death, but then his ultimate victory and restoration to the right hand of his Father God, a key or a cornerstone in God's plan for the salvation of mankind, including, of course, you and me. As we can see in verse 45 of this morning's reading, the chief priests and the Pharisees realized that Jesus was talking about them and were not at all happy about that, to say the least. In fact, they tried to arrest Jesus. However, because they were afraid of the reaction of the crowds that were following Jesus around, who viewed him as a prophet, they didn't follow through at this time. Isaiah tells a familiar story, but with a twist. The people may not be as right with God as they had thought. Jesus begins a similar story. Perhaps things are going to be all right now. But no, not only things are bad, they're getting worse. In both of our readings today, the challenge poised is to see ourselves as we really are, as God sees us, and not be fooled by who we think we are or by our own desires. In the reading from Matthew, Jesus makes the chief priests and elders act as judge over themselves, telling a story where they would have had sympathy with the landowners, but then reversing it to make clear that they are actually the tenants and not the owners in real life. Traditionally, parables have been seen as moral tales or concrete illustrations of a spiritual truth, suitable for children's Sunday school lessons. But most are more than this. They are not there to illustrate, but to stimulate, challenge, and provoke. Today's parable is a tale of violence and murder, and arguably contribute to Jesus' own death by antagonizing the chief priests and the Pharisees. Such stories are dangerous. And are we really comfortable with what it says to us? Who do we identify with in this story? Surely we can't be the original tenants, the ones who are perfectly ready to take full advantage of the good vineyard which the owner had prepared for them, but when the time came, were willing to give him what was rightfully due. But where does God feature in our lives? Is he just for Sundays? Or do we try to bring him into every aspect of what we do? As we travel through life, is God the driver or only an occasional passenger, provided that he's going the same direction as we want to go? Do we ask for guidance from God as to where we should be heading, or only turn to him when we get lost or need something? All these questions. But the fundamental one is, do we consider that we owe anything to God? This is the God who brought our world into being. This is the God who loves each one of us so much that he sent his son, his only son, to suffer and to die on our behalf, so that our sins, all those things which get in the way of us having a good relationship with God, the God we can call Father, could be washed away. Can we be like the second lot of tenants then, recognizing what God has done for us and what is due to him? What might this involve? Perhaps appreciating the good things he's given us and his wish that we take care of one another and the world in which we live. Seeking his guidance before we set off on our daily journey through life, and keeping regular contact through prayer and reading the Bible, our instruction manual. This is a question we can only answer for ourselves. So what is your answer then?